Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite podcast that helps you get the yayas out in the entire universe, world, galaxy of all time. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. So we're gonna do one.
We are gonna do one. And you know, it's if you did not hear last week's episode, our tribute to the late and the great Eric Dane, we were ready to do this episode and then we didn't. So now we're doing it. So we're doing it live. As always, one full run through, and we're gonna say hello. Hello world. We're doing the thing. We're here.
Indeed we are. Here we are.
This is a rare moment. I don't think any shout outs. But quite frankly, quite frankly, I didn't look too hard. I've not really been on social media for the last like 48 hours. So, that's my fault. That's my fault there, but it's okay because I have a Pokemon card to open with Kelsey later and she's going to love it.
We are excited for it.
You got any shout outs on your end?
I don't think so. I'm just giving it a perusal. I'm not really seeing anything, you know? It's good stuff over here. Thank you guys. You know, we love it when people find us. We love the new, the
do
newbies.
Love it. We
so
love
if
the
you're
newbies.
New, hello. If you're new, but also like you're probably 10 seasons behind. So if you're new, welcome to when you get this. If you're new, then by the time you get to this, you're no longer new.
Maybe this is someone's favorite episode. And also, we should shout out the newbies and the new bees. So if you are a bee listening to us, you don't have a ton of lifespan. And what's actually the average lifespan of a bee? Hey,
why
Siri,
are you doing this?
What's the average lifespan of a bee?
Oh. Crazy that you talk to her. I have her turned off. I hate her. She's so annoying.
Oh yeah, no, she's great to me. She's very kind. Worker bees live up to 4 to 6 weeks during the summer and 4 to 6 months in the winter. So they could,
definitely enough time to get caught up.
Definitely could get caught up. If you're a queen bee, if you're a new queen bee, you live 2 to 5 years, which is crazy. Yeah, man.
Good for her.
We love a queen bee.
It's me.
You're a queen. Queen K. Queen B would be Beyonce.
That's Queen Bay.
Yes. All right. Anyways, what are we doing? All right. An episode. I don't know. Okay. We're just being friends. You know, doing the thing. We survived the IVF retrieval. For anyone out there curious and listening.
Yes, I wasn't sure if you were doing an update. Yeah, you survived.
I'll do an update. Yeah, I'll do an update. Jessica and I put in 50% of the work each. We did both.
And that's 50.
I'm kidding. Yesterday was probably 49% me, 51% her. Maybe skewed a little bit more, 90-10. Who knows? No one's keeping track. But Jess successfully survived the anesthesia procedure, and we got 12 eggs. We got a full dozen eggs. What's crazy is we'll know today how many of them like accepted the fertilization, and then by Sunday we'll know how many of them like got past that stage, and then in 6 to 8 weeks we'll know how many we have to play with and put back into her belly. So we're excited, and Jess is feeling really good today.
She felt like a new lady today. Those abdominal surgeries are no joke, man. Like, it's crazy. I mean, I had one when I was 19, and like they went in, it was like the tiniest little cuts that they did because it was laparoscopic, but it was so painful the next day. I mean, for mine at least, they also put a bunch of air in my tummy so that they could like see what they were doing. And that really fucked with my ability to like move my core at all.
Yeah.
She said it felt similar to like her C-section recovery, which is crazy.
Yeah. And obviously the C-section recovery was a bit more invasive. You know, her guts didn't end up in a steel bowl on the
table. We all know what happens as during all a know C-section is where they remove correct. Every single inside organ and put it in separate bowls on the table, and then they just frolic around while your stomach is both open and empty, as the medical professionals have told us more than once.
That's how
it's done.
And I'm committed to that knowledge, and I refuse to let the fake news media tell me otherwise. So, speaking of love, the State of the Union address last night. Yeah, actually, Jess has been on a lot of Tylenol the last 24 hours, so who knows? Maybe it'll give her, what is it autism, or was it?
It's autism, what did he try to say? Said Tylenol causes.
Gosh, what a joke. What a joke of an administration. And a joke of, you know, all of those men. And unfortunately,
and
some
women at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, but she made it. The only frustrating part came in the beginning. So we show up and they said to be there by 7 for a 7:45 procedure. And we all know, and when I say we all, anyone who knows me personally, like Kelsey does, and, you know, shout out. To our listeners who know us on a personal, intimate level, I am not punctual. Jessica is even less punctual. We're together, we have... No. You stop it. She is way less punctual than I am, and I will not take any of your slander.
They are both perpetually late. In my experience, Jessica became more late once Carmen was around.
In my experience, I became more late once Jessica was around. But that's okay. It's fine. We don't have any way to fact check my correct statement, but that's fine. Unlike the State of the Union address where we can fact check everything. It's fine. That was my last one. I'm done. I'm not talking about it anymore. Other countries, we love you, okay? We love you. I don't know what was said, but we love you. Anyways, so we show up at 7 o'clock. We were actually on time. In the parking lot by 6:58, from the two-minute walk to the end of the building, we were there at 7 o'clock on the dot, like they said. So, and it was an hour drive. It's all the way up in Gurnee, which is far from us, for any of you who know Illinois geography. So we get there and the lady like says, she knows we're there, we're checking in. She's like, hey, I'm here for my retrieval, and you know, I need to go and jizz into a cup. And they're like, okay, we'll just go ahead and hang out, we'll call you. And then like 20 minutes goes by and Jess is like, I haven't been called yet, but I was told to be here at 7. I just want to make sure that you guys are good. And they're like, oh no, you're supposed to be in the back building. And we're like, well, motherfucker. So they didn't give us any direction. She was very clear with why we were there. So we go to the back and the lady's like, we've been expecting you. Like, what's going on? And we're like, we literally told the lady in the front we were here for the retrieval and no one said anything to us. And then she started being nicer after that, but she was kind of mean in the beginning. But the doctor was great. The techs were great. So anyways, we're glad we've made it. We've made it to this point. So that's the quick update. And now we're going to talk about the show that everybody loves to listen to us talk to.
Yes, Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
Let's just get into this episode. This is episode 10 of the 10th season. It's the golden episode of the season. You know?
Have you experienced it. Now that we're on E10, have you gotten the E10 error on your computer with this? Has anyone else gotten the E10 error with this episode? E10 D's nuts.
Not everything has to be a bit. Sometimes I can just say a fucking sentence.
Okay, say a sentence.
This is episode 10.
You ever wonder what
of season 10? The golden episode. Delightful. Episode 206 overall. This is named somebody that I used to know. And that is a song.
It is a song. Can I get an assist from you, oh wise knowledge owner of all things? How the fuck do you say the name of this artist?
I think it's... Is it Gyote?
Well, it's G-O-T-Y-E. The Y comes after the T. I'm confused. Is it Goaty? Goatye?
It's definitely not...
Gotya? Gotai?
We're gonna...
Anyways... Well, I guess I should.
Of Wikipedia.
I'm calling the assistant. Let's see. How do I pronounce?
Tell you how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
I always thought it was Gyote.
It might be. I don't know. I got the message this week from Kelsey. She does a really great job of getting me the song ahead of time so I can listen to it. And she will sometimes give me some commentary. And this one, she had said, a fucking banger. So
I love this song. I have always loved this song. It still goes hard. I sing it all the time. Still to this day, I sing this song constantly.
I like it. I like it. And I think you're going to be a little bit upset by my ranking, but I think you'll understand in the end what I'm going to be saying. But anyways, Gaudier. Gaudier! Like the cheese. Gaudier.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Well, somebody that I used to know is...
So good.
Is a song written by he's Australian. Did not know that. Australian singer songwriter Gaudier. Thank you, Google. This song was released in Australia and New Zealand on July 5th, 2011, as a single from Gaudier's third album, Making Mirrors. That's the official release date. I don't know when it got to the December 2011 in the United Kingdom and January 20th, 2012 in Ireland and the United States. There it is. That's what I was looking for. Fun fact, shout out Wikipedia. This was recorded by Gaudier at his parents' house in Mornington Peninsula in Victoria, Australia, which is pretty cool. Right next to Winchesterton Fieldville, Iowa. So
Winchesterton
charts, the song,
Fieldville.
You ever heard that before? You ever watch Mr. Deeds?
Okay, yes, I have watched Mr. Deeds. Sorry.
The name of Mornington sounded like a made-up place, just like Winchesterton Fieldville. That was my bit. I'm so sorry.
No, again, I it's been a while. I do enjoy Mr. Deeds. I apologize. That just caught me off guard.
I'm sorry. That's a deep cut. which also, speaking of movies, I saw Tootsie for the first time yesterday. Have you ever seen that movie, Tootsie? With Dustin Hoffman and Bill Murray.
That's an old one.
It was a great movie. Holy cow.
It's a classic
cow.
For a reason. Yeah.
Man, speaking of women's rights, goodness, loved it. Okay, so I'm going to list all the places that this song ended up at number one, because this song, I'm going to go ahead and say objectively, probably a five, okay? Number one, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Czech Republic, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Hungary, Ireland, Israel, Italy, Mexico, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Poland, Romania, Russia, Scotland, Slovakia, Sweden, the UK. Did I already say England? I might have already said England. Or, I don't know what I'm saying here. Lost my train of thought. The UK, the United States. And it reached number one in multiple United States Billboard charts. So the Hot 100, the Adult Alternative Airplay, the Adult Contemporary chart, the Adult Pop Airplay, the Alternative Airplay, Dance Mix Show, Dance Club Songs, Hot Rock and Alternative, and the Pop Station. And as well as, last but not least, Venezuela. So very, very well received globally. So objectively, I'm giving the song a five. Subjectively, also need to give this song a five, but I'm going to tell you guys, like the song, did not hit that download button. I'm gonna need to.
Is this not already in your library? That is wild.
That's and I was prepared to take that. This is a rare time, guys. I want you all to know that Kelsey's criticism of me is fair and warranted, and I'm accepting the feedback. Maybe I'll download it later.
That's fine. Not everything's for everybody.
It's okay.
But I do love this song. It just slaps.
The world loves this song. I get it. You know? So.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Did you know, Kelsey, fun fact, that the Olympics are over now?
Yeah, I did know that. I did just inform Carmen right before we started recording that the Olympics have been over for days, because he said something about it currently being the Olympics. And I said, that's not what's happening anymore.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's my bad.
Keeping him up to date on the pop culture, guys.
I need it. I'll keep you up on Pokemon, and you keep me up on everything else.
That feels fair.
Let's keep jumping in.
Okay, yeah. Let's go. This episode was written by Deborah Kahn and directed by Debbie Allen. If you'll recall, Debbie Allen plays Catherine, Jackson's mother.
Oh!
And Richard's
Debbie
mother.
Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
So she directed this episode. This episode aired November 21st, 2013. to 8.61 million views. The Netflix synopsis on this one is, while Meredith plans Thanksgiving dinner with Emma's help, Ben confides in Derek that he thinks Bailey has OCD and Richard has a health setback. I would say that's mostly correct. They left out a lot of the Meredith and Christina stuff.
Which I'm glad. No spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's... Yeah, I think that's accurate.
It's a pretty macro-level view. It's pretty good, yeah. Actually.
You know, we've seen way worse, that's for sure. So where should we get started? Let's talk through the Bailey situation.
Yeah, I kind of feel frustration around mm-hmm. this storyline.
Oh yes.
This kind of, so like, as someone who's been in a lot of leadership positions, I think that there is a very fine line between when you have to take things to like upper leadership or report something or like talk about safety. And it's a bummer that Ben and Derek, who, that's a friendship that I've grown to really like,
right.
Not mm-hmm. just these last couple of episodes, but I kind of feel like Ben in the world of the men in this show kind of gives me a lot of like early Callie vibes, where I was like, man, Callie can kind of like riff and vibe with anyone in the show. And I really like it. And I did not think I was going to like Ben early on because of Bailey going through, the divorce.
Her, like, PTSD and
feeling
and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually, no, I think he handled that all pretty well.
Yeah.
Who was the one guy that I didn't like? Eli. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of looped all men into Bailey's life, dating life, of I don't like you, I want to protect Bailey.
Right.
And then now that they're married, I feel much more safe with Ben in the mix, especially like, I'm talking about like it's a real person, right?
yeah.
But like, I mean, I'm thinking about Tuck's safety, emotional safety, right? Like, you don't want all these men coming into Tuck's life too. So I've really grown to like Ben. Ben's like a top tier side character for me. I really like him. I'd mm-hmm. like to see more of him. And it's a bummer. I kind of was mad the first time that Derek was like, I got to take this to the board. And more I thought about it, I'm like, well, no. Like, that's, I think a little bit of that is on Ben. He's like, hey, like, I got to talk to you about something, but it, like, not Derek, the board member. So like, if that's hard for you, then maybe we can't talk about it. But that was like my initial reaction, but I've really grown to like Ben, and this storyline is kind of a tough one.
Yeah. And I will echo the appreciation of the friendship between Ben and Derek. We love any time there's positive, like, friendships specifically between men. That's just like positive masculinity. And just like, men can also talk about their feelings and it's not a big deal and like everything's fine. And I do think that's something Grays does really well. Like, obviously, when Mark died in the last season, it's like you don't see a lot of that with Derek anymore, because I'm never going to say that Owen is a good example of anything positive. So,
right.
And this episode's going to back me up on that, in my opinion. So I understand where Derek's like, I don't think Derek would have said anything except because Ben said, oh, she kept a patient under for an hour longer than necessary. If that like hadn't been thrown in, I don't like, even if he had just said like, oh, I think she's maybe struggling with like some OCD tendencies, or you know, she's just having a hard time kind of like coming back into surgery the way that she was before everything happened, like with the gloves and everything. I don't think Derek would have felt obligated, but I do think because he like said she actively kept a patient under anesthesia an hour longer than necessary, like, I hate it. And we know I'm not a Derek fan.
The alarm bells kind of go off at that
point. I do feel like that is maybe something that warrants being reported. Not even necessarily to be like, oh, she should be penalized, just to be like, wait, this feels like something that maybe we do need to kind of look into and find support for. Now, the way it's executed is ass.
Right.
Absolute
oh, totally.
Trash fucking garbage. But that's on Owen.
So let me ask you this, because I'm reading this I'm reading this storyline a little bit differently.
Okay.
And I want your opinion on this, because I think, you know, as someone who's watching this for the first time, you have context and you can help me, you know, steer me the right way, which you've done before. It kind of feels like the Ben thing has triggered the OCD stuff more than the surgery. Excuse me, the surgery piece. I feel like she was kind of at a healthy point with the surgery, like the glove and the mm-hmm. the death of the patients with what was it? Wasn't MRSA? Was it MRSA?
Yeah.
No.
Staff.
Yeah. Was it staff? Thank you. Not MRSA. MRSA is a very different thing. Or is MRSA staff?
I think it's a strain of staff. Actually, I think.
Okay.
I don't think you
well then,
pulled
good.
That out I feel, of nowhere. I think they're similar.
Okay. There's so many things that just are latching into my brain with this yeah. show and with all medical shows. So my thing with that is it felt like she was past that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that reverted her back into this like need for control is the Ben thing, not as much the surgery thing. Am I reading that differently than like
I think you're right, but they go hand in hand in that with OCD and with a lot of various like mental illnesses, there will be something that can be a trigger. Whether or not it is like a one for one makes sense for people on the outside, because she, you're right, she had like readjusted and come back into it and everything was going better. Him doing that and not involving her and like breaking her routine, breaking her norm, I think was like a trigger for I'm no longer in control. And not necessarily that she needs like wants to control him, but just like the understanding of the way her life and her reality is and works. And so a sudden like shift and an upset of that would be a trigger for something like that. And you see it like to make it, I mean, this is obviously not a perfect comparison, but if you look at kids like our kids' age, toddler age, right? If you think about when we potty train and they're like, oh, if something big changes, like if you have a new baby or if you move, they will be like, okay, well, I can control where I pee. I can control where I shit. Mm-hmm. And so they'll mm-hmm. just start doing yeah. that wherever. Obviously, that's not a one for one, but it's just an example of like things that make like when you feel out of control, there is a mindset shift to be like, well, what can I control?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, again, I also will say I in Discord asked if we have any listeners who have OCD and kind of like asked their opinion on how it was portrayed in this. I asked this where you were not because I wasn't sure if you had watched the episode yet.
Well,
at the point
yeah,
when I asked
totally,
this.
Totally.
So I was just asking because the thing with OCD is it gets misrepresented in media a lot and it gets misused by the average just person all the time, right? Like, oh, I like it when my room is clean is in no way having OCD. Like, oh, I have to hang up all my...
That is a particular feeling.
Yeah, that's just like wanting things to go a certain place. And that's very different from like a mindset and like intrusive thoughts being I cannot function if things are not the way that I want. That's just very different. Yeah. And it gets misused again a lot in media and just by the average person, like, oh, that's really messing with my OCD. But like they don't have OCD. They're just saying that because they like things to look a certain way. And it's fine to like things to look a certain way. But it just doesn't mean that you have a medical thing that like requires therapy and potentially medication. And I feel like I don't have OCD, but it does bother me when people misuse things like that as someone who has gone through other like mental illness diagnosis and things like that. So it just irks me when people are like, oh, I have to turn this the right way because I have OCD. I'm like, yeah, You just want it to be that way. And that's fine to want it to be that way.
Totally. Totally. No one's going to shame you for being particular. They might think you're an asshole, potentially, if you're, like, way too particular. But, like, you know, no one's going to shame you. I'm going to call out two instances that I can glean off the top of my head that I think represents OCD pretty well. One was, I think, in The Aviator with Leo DiCaprio's character. He was, like, what, stuck in the bathroom, washing his hands until he bled. And then there was, like, a thing where a guy gets to the door before him, or he runs out of paper towels or something, and he didn't feel clean. Like, that was, like, part of the OCD. And then Michael J. Fox's representation of and guest appearance in an episode of Scrubs. He's got OCD. And it's pretty, I mean, Michael J. Fox is a great actor. I mean, gem of our generation. It's pretty intense. It's as intense stuff. This is the inability to function, not the, you know, like I could say I'm OCD about my Pokemon cards. No, I'm just, if I have a card, I want it in a fucking sleeve and I want to protect it. That's particular.
Yeah, you're just particular.
That is having
about
a preference.
Exactly.
Preference. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, again, it's fine to, like, take care of things and want your home and car and whatever else, desk, to look a certain way. But, like, there's a difference in wanting that. And, like, if you can't have that, like, at a certain point, you'd probably just be like, okay, fine, I'll deal with it later. Like, there are people who cannot move past it.
Yeah. Like, can't get out of bed sometimes.
Yeah. Can't sleep for thinking about it. The main kind of conversation around it in this specific episode was more about how those around Miranda handle it and less about the representation of her dealing with it at this point in the storyline. What really bothers, Ben gets mad that Derek's going to go to Owen. They go to Owen together. Owen's like, I'm going to have to pull her off the floor until we figure this out. And Ben's like, let me talk to her. And he goes to her. She's mad. I understand that she's mad. I understand
it. Totally,
I think it's very justified. Again, it's like another level of like, how much can you come home and ruin my fucking life, sir?
Seriously.
Which is hard. It's hard because it's so, like, not his intention. And I feel for him because it's so obviously not what he wanted. And he immediately is like, God damn. And he knows. He knows that she's going to be upset. He's not saying that she shouldn't be. He's like, fuck, I fucked up so bad.
What does he say when they're talking about Thanksgiving? He's like, well, if I even have a wife come Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
he knows. He knows.
He wants to do the right thing by talking to her. And I think it is, I appreciate that he's like, please let me be the one to talk to her, even though, you know, ultimately it doesn't work. But I think that it's right of him to go to her and be like, I've done this thing and this is the result, you know. And so then they're like, Owen goes into the OR to pull her off of this case moments before she starts operating in front of all of her like peers and subordinates, which I think is super a fucked up way to do that regardless. And then when she says no, makes Meredith start just moving her shit around. And it's oh my God.
Like, I was torn on that scene. Shitty. Like, where's HR? publicly shaming an employee, because also HR would be involved in a conversation like that where they're taking someone off service or something. But honestly, I think that moment almost needed to happen because Bailey is, I think, right now in her state of mind, is the way they've written this character, is a dangerous combination of prideful and broken, where she clearly is, I think, handling it the best that she can, but she's at a point where she is too prideful to ask for help when she does clearly need it. And the only way for her to see it was to be in a situation where the whole world basically saw how broken she was in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that it's not good for her reputation. It's not good for her standing within the team, I think it sends a message, but she, I don't know if she would have actually like heard it any other way. I think that's where I'm seeing the challenge with the way they're writing this character and this kind of arc is, would she have ever backed off unless she recognized that other people saw the stuff that she's dealing with and she can no longer hide from it? It's out in the world now. It sucks that it's Meredith, because it feels like her and Meredith like just got back on good terms after they weren't talking, and then they, you know, she saved Meredith and the whole surgery thing and all that, blah, blah, blah. So it's just a bummer. It feels like everyone's relationship right now is in such a rocky period.
Yeah, I just think like first of all, it's essentially what they're doing is basically exposure therapy, which can be a valid treatment of OCD, but not at all thing? In this
exposure
setting.
Exposure therapy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, interesting. This is a teaching hospital, damn it.
yeah, so that, but you would not jump to, she's not at all had any kind of diagnosis or like conversation with a therapist. And again, it's like an embarrassment / shame thing. And again, in front of all of these people, that's just like not how you would handle it. And I'm like, that's out of place for Hunt to do that to her, in my opinion, especially from a leadership perspective. Like hate it so much.
Yeah. Let's take a quick pause to represent and honor good capitalism, and we'll be back to finish this conversation about good Bailey, great Bailey, and we'll be right back. And we are back. Thank you, good capitalism. Not the bad kind. Not the bad kind that, you know, I don't have any statements. Okay. All right, next. Okay, back to Bailey.
Yeah, so essentially, she's like making sure. Also, this is when she made Joe like rescrub 3 times, or was that last episode? Ben comes in. Okay, that was last episode. Anyway, so that was probably another thing that made Ben be like, what's going on? So, yes, Bailey. I just like hated how Owen handled it. And I understand, like, I don't think he's wrong to want to pull her off and like figure it out and address it, especially again when Ben has said that it has already negatively impacted a patient. And so I don't think the move to take her off the board for the time being until they can like sit with it and like talk, have her talk to someone and get whatever diagnosis or help if she needs, but the way it's done is really terrible. And it really bothers me because there's so many storylines in this show about these surgeons being really particular about how their ORs are set up. And, oh, I, you know, have to have my lucky scrub cap. And, you know, Meredith says something about, oh, Derek needs like 17 towels in his surgery and one has to be right here so he can like prop up his elbow on it and all this stuff. And I understand that those things are different. But in this moment, Owen is acting like this is equivalent and it's not. And it needs to be treated differently. And everyone else, I don't know. It just kind of bugged me that they've harped on similar things about other surgeons, like wanting things very specifically. And if they don't have them, they'll be really mad and like they'll yell at people.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And again, I know that those things are different and we as the viewer obviously like have the bigger picture and see that there is more of an issue here at hand, but it just really like doesn't sit well with me that Owen takes it the way that he does.
Yeah. You know, here's the last thing I'll say on that particular topic, because that's a great point I haven't thought of, but let's think about the mindset of a surgeon. You're about to go in to save a life. And if you're superstitious, which we've seen them talk about, not just in this show, but I think a lot of medical shows talk about how surgeons are like superstitious people. Same thing with, you know, athletes. Yep. How many athletes, they wear the same specific socks, or they get on a hot streak with a same set of, like I've heard, underwear, you know, like it's crazy the things that they'll do. And if Bailey starts that surgery where her stuff is off an inch, maybe that throws off her whole mindset and she feels like she can't give great surgery. And then there's one thing that she's thinking about. Same thing with Derek and the towels and stuff. Like, that's a great call out. I did not actually think about and remember. Thank you for that call out,
yeah.
Professor.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just frustrating. The portrayal and the just the way it's executed again. Carmen and I, obviously, we do not have OCD. So when we're talking about this storyline, it's just going to be of our perception. And then also we have, again, like talked to some of our listeners about their experience with it and the representation from that. So I just didn't want to speak on it like, oh, I think they did great. And then, you know, have all these people be like, nah. So, but we're very lucky that we have a good community, that we have like resources that we can ask those questions too.
And you know, we've seen that overall, I would say, Kelsey, keep me in line on this. Overall, I think Grays hits the mark on how they mm-hmm. represent things, minorities, mm-hmm. the LGBTQ plus stuff. But you know, I think about that one doctor with
autism.
They had said is it autism, right,
at the
Asperger's?
Time, at the time, they were calling it Asperger's, and then we learned that that is an outdated term.
Yes, that was the point I was going to make. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And you know, we got some messages from our community in Patreon and Discord and all these things where they were like, well, actually, this is how this is represented. And we got mm-hmm. educated on that, which is awesome. So if you're out here listening to this episode, email graysacademypod@gmail.com. And talk to Kelsey and leave your thoughts. If you are someone who is diagnosed with OCD, how you feel that representation was, mm-hmm. So that we can talk on that a little bit more. So hopefully we get, you know, to hear from you. Do you want to take us through that last scene where Ben and Bailey are arguing in the house?
Yeah. So hang on, let me pull it back up because now I'm looking at.
Unless there's other things that happened up to that point. That was just the next note that I
have. Well, I did want to say, again, one of the things Katya had said in Discord was she thought that Ben, it would have been helpful, maybe had gone to Richard, because Richard and Miranda have such an established and like respected relationship. And
that's a good point,
she's
too.
Like,
great point, Katya.
She's like, Richard's literally just laying in a bed. He could have maybe done something.
He's not going anywhere, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, Miranda is mad, justifiably, like, and this man has come back without any conversation, without consulting her at all, and then he basically is like, I waited too long to go, I should have gone to him way earlier. And she's like, stay out of my career. You're making all these mistakes. And, you know, they argue. And then she, in her anger, like knocks over a chair and walks away. But then she comes back and picks up the chair and like puts, you know, she puts it in a very specific way that it was before she knocked it over. And they're obviously trying to illustrate and hit home the OCD. And what's hard, I think, also about OCD is, part of what makes it the mental illness that it is the intrusive thoughts that are associated with things being in a certain way. And it's hard to like show that on a television show because you can't read someone's mind. So,
right.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you kind of have to wait and see how it plays out next. But that's just like such a huge part of the OCD diagnosis of like, oh, if I don't do X, Y, and Z, like something terrible will happen to me or my family or, you know, whatever it might, my patients in this scenario. So it is definitely not like the easiest thing to portray on a screen. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind when we're watching this storyline.
Yeah, I do think it's, That breaking point we see where she throws a chair over and comes back and puts it back up is a very telling piece. And honestly, I do see, again, where Ben is coming from. He kind of is at this point as well where, like, dude, I should have gone to Owen a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
directly to him. Like, I should have made this a formal thing and I didn't. So I think there's two pieces where he's clouding his judgment because of his care and relationship and love for Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda is also clouding her judgment because of, I think that it doesn't feel like it's a problem for her, and she's going through a lot of the control piece and the mm-hmm. the death of her patient piece. Like, there is a lot that's all happening, and again, you know, her life really just got thrown upside down again, and you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, with that being said, I really hope that Miranda is okay. I'm curious to see how they handle the next couple of episodes with the time lapse. But I'm going to make an official prediction that she's not out of surgery for more than 4 episodes. I think by 5 episodes from now, she will be back in surgery.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, was there anything else we wanted to say on the Miranda Ben storyline?
No. I think that's.
Do you
want
to make a prediction on their relate, like what this does to their relationship?
They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. I know that there are, like, I'm trying to think of, I want to say this and it's not like a demeaning thing, but I do think that there are characters in shows, both men and women, that they write as like, oh, okay, like it's going to be expected. There are going to be multiple divorces, multiple marriages, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that as the way they're writing Bailey's character. I hope that Bailey, much like where I'm feeling Callie and Arizona are going, is they're not writing these female characters as the people who are going to get divorced and married, and like the only way they see love is if they're in marriages, right? Like, that's just such a way to weaken these strong female characters that we have. And I really hope that I hope they don't make them weak in their power as they go through to try to mm-hmm. solve the interpersonal pieces of these marriages. But honestly, I've been thinking about this a lot over the last like 2 weeks since we've been able to record about a physical episode. I think that Ben owes Bailey a more in-depth apology for making this big of a decision and not talking to her about it.
Yes.
I think that it's a fair decision for him to ultimately come to, and he, again, like I was thinking originally from a black and white financial standpoint, like he's making a decision that is better, a positive, because he's making money, more money. And I didn't realize that. You actually helped me understand that point. But the fact that there was no consulting with your partner, that's the wrong move. So I do think that we still are owed an on-screen better apology. From Ben. So that's the last thing I want to say on like his story right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we'll chat about Richard a little bit since.
Yeah. He's having a hard time.
He's just hanging out. Joe's on his case more this episode, and he really wants a stress test, even though he failed his last one. And she's like, wants to do it, and Meredith doesn't want her to do it. And then she ends up doing it. And she tells him, oh, you know, like, you need to stop, you need to slow down. And he's like, no, I don't. And he turns the treadmill up like hella high and then fucking flies off of it.
Which is crazy. The first, I had to watch that scene twice, Kelsey, because I thought Joe was fucking with him. He was fucking with himself.
Oh,
I was
you
like,
thought
damn,
she was
Joe?
Like turning it up?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how I missed that part. When he's like, turn it up, and like, I can handle it. And she's like, okay, motherfucker. And she's just like, press, 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 press. Like, you're at a gym and you're like trying to show off at the gym. This dude did it to himself. And I didn't catch that until the second time. That, and I'm like, at the first time, I'm laughing. And the second time, I'm like, oh shit, he did it to himself. This is bad. But that's wild. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I had to share that. I did not catch that it was Weber the first time.
I thought that was how that happened, because it is not how it happened. Thank God.
No, no. Can you imagine if Joe killed Weber?
So yeah, she does that. He flies off of it. Then Callie comes in. She's like, oh, you broke a rib, motherfucker.
Yeah. Sure did.
So everyone's annoyed at him. He's annoyed that he's not, you know, doing what he wants. It's not going. they keep being like, we can get you into like a longer term care facility. He's like, I don't want that. I want to go home. And he's like, oh, I'll get a nurse or whatever.
Yeah, I'll pay someone to live in my house and do this shit for me.
He probably would be yelling at that person too. Like,
well, his excuse was, it's hard when the people here know me.
Yeah.
Bitch, the people who don't know you won't put up with your shit.
Yeah. And then it's also all of this is happening like right before Thanksgiving. And then they end up like Richard, Leah, Steph, and Joe end up saying like, we'll have Thanksgiving here in the hospital and we'll get like KFC or whatever.
I love that scene.
Yeah. So there's, yeah, I don't know that there's really like a whole lot to talk through on like, again, this man has been in this hospital the whole season. We are 10 episodes in. I'm done with it.
what's the name of the actor who plays Weber?
James Pickens Jr.
James Pickens Jr. Imagine being James and you're looking at your script for the season and he's like, I'm in a bed. For how long?
Yeah.
That is just so funny. There's a couple things I want to call out with this storyline because I did like it a lot. One, Weber's character having the audacity to slander mushrooms and stuffing can kick a fucking rock. Mushrooms go in everything. I don't give a shit. Yeah. So I hate the audacity he has on that. And then I love that he's like, what about a deep fried turkey? We should have one of those. And then, is it Weber or Joe? That's like, don't people kill themselves doing that? And he's so quick with it. He's like, everything has a price.
worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so there's that scene too, where Steph walks in and she's talking about like the Stan and the Donna situation. And he's like, is that a threesome thing? And they all laugh at him. So funny. Old man, stay out of it. So the last thing I'll say, the story with the getting the food together and they're like doing Thanksgiving is Joe. So Joe was invited to Thanksgiving with Alex, which we'll get to soon because it's at Meredith's house. And that is a whole rigmarole of a situation. Very funny to me. But the intern's talking about food and Weber, and they're like doing their orders and they all get like hyped up and they're like, it's basically like watching drunk people or high people where they're like, yeah, and we need this. Oh yeah. And we need that. And we need that. Can't forget that. And all of a sudden you got a $600 order that you got to figure out and you eat, you know, $100 worth of it. But I love the storylines around the, you know, you don't have to have these, you do have one group of folks who are having this grandiose dinner and like, it's planned and it's like,
quote unquote.
Yeah, and that's great, and that works for them, and that's fine, and I'm not dissing that, because I also have, fortunate enough to have some family where we do have kind of that traditional Thanksgiving, but also, I've spent a number of Thanksgivings myself, where I go to the Chinese food place, or I get whatever fast food is, and I'm eating it with friends, or, you know, we're doing whatever, I remember Thanksgiving, you used to have to fucking work on Thanksgiving for Black Friday, back in our retail days, or when we were at Disney. fucking working at Disney,
and every guest is like, I can't believe you have to work on Thanksgiving, and it's like, well, you're here. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to do with that.
That's so funny. So yeah, it was a good in an episode where there's some like heavy stuff with Bailey and Ben, and then there's stuff with Christina and Meredith. It's nice to have like food be kind of a light thing, and I like that.
Yeah.
Especially not because this bitch has a fucking broken rib, motherfucker. So, better stay in bed.
Yeah.
I know we talked a lot about Bailey. Do we want to do a longer episode? Because I know we're a little bit crunched on time. Do you want to do a full hour for this next episode and then we'll pause here?
We got a bit more. We got some more Christina, Meredith, to Owen, Emma, fucking Cali, Arizona, Lee. We got some shit to unpack.
We got some shit to unpack. Let's Let's do that.
We'll do that. Yeah. Let's do that. And we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.